Podcasting 2.0 for July 9th, 2021, episode 45. We are pressing the flesh and kissing babies. Yeah, baby. It is Friday once again, time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on around podcastindex.org, podcastindex.social, and podcasting in general. It's been a long week and a lot to talk about. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, the druid of the Gouid, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Oh, I like that one.
You like it, huh?
The Gouid.
Yeah, you can put that in your email signature.
I'm trying to figure out. I was eating some dried green beans.
As one does on Fridays.
Yeah. I love these things, but I've yet to understand why they cost like $1 million an ounce. So if you look at a can of green beans,
yeah,
it's like 15 ounces of green beans, and it's like, 90 cents.
Well, this is the temporary inflation that is just going to pass us by.
Well, these things are like 5 ounces for like $8.
Wow, that's almost as much as weed. This is crazy.
I don't know if you can smoke it, but clearly.
Well, that is next on the list, of course.
Yeah. Clearly, there is something involved in the drying and the green bean drying process that I do not understand.
You know, I think it's all supply chain. I couldn't get any shallots the other day.
Oh.
And at HEB, which is like our regular grocery store, they're actually fantastic. I love them, Texas company. And the guy's like, nah, there's no one to pack them and no one wants to work and no one wants to drive trucks. Rah, rah. Oh, well, okay. Hadn't had shallots for 3 weeks. It's crazy.
I'm looking on the ingredients.
Wait, it comes with instructions?
Ingredients, not instructions, my bad. I was looking for maybe there may be like rare earth metals in here or something that would drive the price up, but no. It's just green beans.
This is the official board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. We do it live, and we do it every single Friday. We love bringing people in. I'm going to open the door for a second. Please welcome the gentleman you see to my left with the green visor and the desk lamp, none other than the third leg of the index stool, Eric Mackey, everybody.
How's it going, Adam, Dave?
Well, yeah, what's up, Eric? Good. He doesn't talk much, but when he talks, it's so meaningful.
What's the old commercial, like, when so-and-so talks, people listen? What was that? Who was that guy? It was like an investment. It wasn't Charles Schwab. It was like...
Oh, you mean the guy that's that is memed a million times?
Yes, like when so-and-so, when this guy talks, people listen.
Isn't he from the...
That was Tequila Guy.
No, I thought it was the Burlington... Wasn't he Burlington Coats or something? Not Burlington Coat Factory, but...
I don't know.
Well, gee, we're really off to a rockin' start here. What do we know? Nothing.
On top of things.
Yeah. Wow, man.
I've got something to hit right off the bat.
Though. All right.
Unless you got anything, Eric, you want to jump into?
No.
I want to talk about how awesome the tip jar is. Steven got that working.
With the notes.
Oh, with the, with the message.
The message, yeah. It's fantastic. I sent Cridlin a message. I know he didn't get it.
Oh, you did?
Well, now, how would he get it? Can he read these messages? I don't know what his wallet is.
I don't know. I mean, I think he uses Satoshi Stream, so he
might. He may be able to see it. Okay. Yeah, that was my first one. I'm like, oh, let me put this in here. I said, thanks for the name check. Boom.
Let's see. So I sent myself, this is exactly what we were talking about last show. I sent myself, a 2112 boost. Sorry, I got so much paper here. I sent myself a 2112 boost. And so it came through with the original donation amount, listed with the app name and my message. So it's got all the details that we need.
Does it also have a timestamp of when in the podcast? Yeah. Oh my God. That is so cool.
Well,
podcasts are cool.
I hope people understand what this means. I mean, this is a complete cutout of all middlemen. This goes straight. This cuts straight through. There's all the PayPal's gone. Patreons are gone. All that crap is gone. This is a a straight donation directly from the user's app to
the podcaster's wallet. Yeah.
With a message and an amount and everything and nobody in between. None. Nobody gets to see this.
It's not even a year. It's not even a year and we dreamed this shit up. This is fantastic.
It's incredible. I mean, I've got a script now that I wrote that can pull these out. So if people donate to the show using the tip jar, we can donate it. We can pull it out and read them on the show, just like a PayPal donation.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. I love that. Now, when there's a split, it goes to both or multiple nodes the same. Oh no, if it's a tip jar, then it's just to one node typically, right?
Well, he's got both. So he's got, you can tip, you can choose a person to tip, a node to tip, or you can go in there and his other option is send, do a donation to everybody at the same time with a message. Oh. So everybody gets the message.
I hadn't seen that. It wasn't apparent to me.
It's not, it's a little, and then this would be a criticism. This
podcast color, app review.
Yes. Yeah. The color scheme on CurioCaster, the grayscale makes things hard to, it makes it hard to see when there's other options.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the tip, on the tab.
Oh, I see it there. Message boost. I got it. Holy crap. Now 500 characters. Is that the limit of the TLV record?
1300 bytes is the limit to the TLV.
Okay. That for me, that's like, and it does not answer my question.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
what?
If it's ASCII, if it's an ASCII message, yeah. It would have, you know, 1 byte per character.
Oh, okay.
If it's like, you know, Unicode or something, that's another right. language, it would be multi-byte. I'm not sure what the TLV is assuming. I'm assuming it's ASCII.
Yeah, it would seem so.
Well, I think at the bottom level, UTF-8, I think at the ASCII level of UTF-8, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but I think those are single byte anyway. Is that right?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
I think like the first 128 or whatever it is characters of UTF-8, I believe those are just straight ASCII single byte characters.
For context, one of the biggest things in podcast news this past week has been the fact that show notes now work in Apple. And here we are sending donations direct from listener in their app to the podcaster with a message, with a timestamp.
Wait, back up. Apple has show notes now?
With HTML links. Back up.
Why didn't we lead off with that?
Links.
I'm sorry. Links. Dave hijacked the show rundown. What can I tell you?
Sorry. Yeah. Just burying the lead.
Yeah, but you go ahead.
That is the 7629171 tip TLV.
I love it.
And so yeah.
And I welcome the Roganites who something weird happened when I was on Rogan. This was the PR work from week for me somehow.
You were all over the place, man.
Yeah, and I just kept dropping podcasting 2.0 as much as I could on Rogan. But here's what was interesting, because we were talking about Mastodon at some point, and I'm like, you got to check it out. And it was interesting because Jamie fired it up, and the first thing he said is, oh, it's like a tweet deck. I'm like, no. Okay, how am I going to get beyond this remark? But then he couldn't get to noagendasocial.com. I think he was doing www, and who does that anymore? But which doesn't resolve on our end. And then I said, I'll just try podcastindex.social. So now I have about 500 new followers on podcastindex.social, and which is kind of cool because, you know, I don't post all that much. It's more responses, etc. But now they're going to see the post of this show, and they're going to go, oh, wow, let's listen. And then they're going to learn all about the tip TLV.
Oh, yeah, exactly what we want the introduction to the show to be.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. My thought was, because I listened to the show, I listened to your Rogan appearance. It harmed me internally to have to open the Spotify app to watch it. But I did it anyway for the show.
You, You should have been on No Agenda Social because all kinds of producers came up with ways to avoid using the Spotify.
And by the way, I don't condone that at all. I pay for my content. If I really want something, I'll go through the path. I don't believe in privacy. That's me personally. So you won't see me liking anybody who's ripped a feed or anything like that.
No, there was a couple of them that found direct Spotify links that you didn't need the app. You could get it direct from Spotify. It wasn't a rip. It was.
Oh,
just right
you're kidding.
Of,
oh, I didn't know.
No, it was right off of Spotify server.
Oh, that's fair game then.
Right.
That's fair. If it's just
I totally agree with you. I don't want pirated stuff, but at the same time, you know,
it was middle ground. But it was interesting how many people were like, I can't listen. I won't listen. I hate Spotify. That's an interesting response, even though a lot of people want to listen to it. And you, Dave, are clearly just a turncoat.
No,
you buckled.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but they offered me exclusive deal.
Oh, and this is your last show, and you're gonna be doing.
And I do have to say, please download the app. It's free. It's free. It's free.
It's free.
Well, did I mention it's free?
Finish your thought, and then I do have some things to say about Spotify.
Oh yeah. So my first thought was because you're sitting there talking about podcasting 2.0 and streaming Lightning, Bitcoin payments, and all this stuff, and I'm like, I wonder if. I wonder how Spotify feels. Clearly, that is their flagship show. They paid $100 million for it. He's the biggest show on Spotify. I wonder how they feel about their biggest show on Spotify championing a clear subversive competitor to everything that they're doing.
Well,
because you know they listen to the show. They got to.
I think I can answer that for you. Okay. First of all, I love Joe for not. He doesn't even think about that. He doesn't even think that way. He does not think.
You can tell it never crossed his mind.
No, he does not think that way. And I was, very cautious. I'm like, but I figured I'd just go for it. So I went to look at Spotify's Q1 financial and management report of their first quarter of 2021 because I wanted to see how they talk about Rogan and podcasting. So now the way they report their numbers is year over year that I didn't see a quarter over quarter. So, yeah, I mean, compared to first quarter 2020 versus 2021, Rogan stuff is obviously going to do better because, it just barely started in the first Q. So overall, what was interesting. But first of all, they never use the term podcasting anywhere in any report, any revenue, nothing. They only talk about the all-encompassing audio platform. We're all things audio. So there's not a mention of podcasting. In the breakdown of the management report, there is a one line about Rogan, new users for Rogan is up. And we're very pleased with it. They did not give a number, no percentage, etc. Oddly, their MAUs, their monthly average users, are down a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, down a little bit. So I'm thinking that they may be converting people who are already customers. You can't really decipher it from the language, or at least I couldn't. And it kind of dawned on me as I'm reading this report. There's no breakout of the money. For podcasting, advertising revenues are up for them, but that I think is logical because more people want free. Mm-hmm. But also, they do have more people converting, so that makes sense. But I think we're giving them too much credence. They don't actually care, and they see themselves as the place for all audio. They're kind of doing an Apple in a way. It's like Apple has. Cool devices that keep you secure and make you feel good when you use them. And we change the world when you use them. And Spotify is anything, by the way, nothing about video, which is kind of what Rogan's main audience driver, I would say, is video and shareable video when it was back on YouTube. To me, I don't think they actually even care about podcasting. They want a farm team. So Acast is, bring people in that way. And they still
you mean Anchor.
Anchor, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
and they still oddly kind of talk about Anchor as a, you know, as a business unit they get agreements with. I'm not quite sure how that worked, why it was stated that way. Mm-hmm. So when you kind of look at the changes in some of these hosts or the non-interest for podcasting, it's because they're not in the podcasting business. They're in the audio business, and they believe that they can capture the entire world, just like Google does for search. We're Google for audio. And I love listening to like Todd and Rob, because even though we know the hosting business, we don't really know the hosting business and the community. And I hear that they also, I mean, they put it in a different way, but I think that for me, the general message is, why do we even care about them? It really doesn't matter. The only thing they can do, and the only thing they're interested in is picking up hits. So, yeah. But as the place, oh, everyone's going to use podcasts on Spotify. There's just no evidence for it. There's no evidence for it.
So how do they justify spending that much money, though?
Bro.
I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Money is free. There's so much money in the world. Eric can jump in anytime you want, Eric. There's so much free money. I mean, here's what you do. You're Amazon. You're Jeff Bezos. You go to, if you're at that level, you borrow the money effectively for free. Some people borrow it and then buy Bitcoin. That's the MicroStrategy. Some people borrow the money for free and buy Whole Foods. Spotify borrowed the money for free, bought Rogan. That's what's going on there. But a hits business by itself, if that was the only way to go, then we'd only have, RCA Records now. You know, there would never be a Motown. There would never be a Interscope. So I'm quite pleased. I was like, now I think about it, who cares? It's really not that interesting. They certainly don't care. And I don't think they're stealing any real market share. Except maybe from some of the companies who want to be in the advertising game and they don't like it. That stuff is, that Spotify kind of controls the whole experience and the listener. But, is that really that important? And look at our features. Our features are killing it.
Well, the flip side of that is, why are we not getting more adoption of features?
We don't have enough hosts supporting enough features.
That's what I'm saying. And why are there not enough?
And we still could have more education. And I have on my notes here, if it's Buzzcast or the what's the Libsyn cast or the or the Blueberry cast or the new meat, whatever it is. If I can be of any assistance, I'm always very happy to go on and talk about stuff.
Well, I was very happy that Jim at Podcast One reached out to me.
Oh, this is the Podcast Mastodon. One. That's the Norm Pattis. I know Norm Pattis. That's the old radio guy.
Yeah.
Very successful. Yeah. He had a huge radio. What did he have? Did he have Premier Radio Networks? Eric, do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
Gee, why did we invite Eric today?
Not for references. That's
it. It's for all your deep cut knowledge of radio.
And ASCII character bites.
Well, that's what Melissa will tell me some story and about something. She's like, tell me some story about some person in Argentina. And I'm like, and I'll just be thinking about it and go off on something. And I'm like, well, what is the main national export of Argentina? She's like, I don't know. Why are you asking it? I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Now that I think of it. Now, what is Jim? Jim is, what's his position? What's his position?
Then? CTO.
Oh, right. Oh.
CTO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he reached out to me on the Mastodon, and we said we're going to talk next week about them implementing some tags, and then which is fantastic. But then, I was asking James Cridlin. He posted this article from Ross Adams over at Acast.
Yeah,
and Ross Adams was like singing the praises of OpenRSS.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm just a little, I mean, I'm not bitter. I'm just a little
flummoxed.
Flummoxed. Yes, I'm flummoxed.
If you're singing the praises of RSS, the extensibility through a namespace, and if you're talking about podcasting, it seems like you've omitted something. And does he know about it? He must know about it.
Oh, he has to. He has to know about it. I mean, and I reached out to Simplecast, Radio Silence. Yeah. I reached out to Podbean, nothing. And I'm just flummoxed as to why these hosting companies are like dragging their feet. I don't really get it.
I don't know.
There's,
it's like, wow. You know, I think, or I pray perhaps what will happen is someone's going to say, you know what, we're just going to pull ahead with this. And, you know, already you see Buzzsprout and RSS.com, and, you know, they're really, really pushing hard. But, and also, I would be the first to recognize how difficult it actually is, if you just talk cloud chapters, to build an experience for podcasters to use that is understandable, you know, user, what we would call UX. It's not easy. You know, so I'm, you know, for us, it's like, just give me a form. I just fill in the shit. I know what to do. Right?
Well, I would, at first I was thinking, well, is it old? Is it the old guard podcast hosts that are dragging their feet versus the new ones that are hungry and ready to go? No, that's not
really. No.
Buzzsprout's been around since the very beginning. Libsyn has been around since the very beginning. They don't have tags yet, but they at least are supporting the namespace.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Blueberry, they've been around since the very foundation of podcasting. They're supporting it. And then you've got Fireside, Captivate, RSS.com, Transistor. Those are a mix of newer hosts. So I really don't know. Go ahead.
What I feel and what I've heard is everyone is, and there's some bigger app developers that we might know, they all say the same thing. Well, we're going to wait for some bigger guy to implement it first. And you had a great rant about that on a previous show. We know we don't have to rehash it. But
thank you.
But, you know, that's fine. Someone's going to go all out. And I saw the WordPress plugin, which I believe works with Blueberry, added value for value support now.
Yeah,
value Andy. Block. Yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So what, tell me about Acast. Who owns Acast? Are they just their own thing?
I think they're their own thing. Don't know. That's a good question. Let me see if I can find it. Ross Adams is their CEO. But I don't know if anybody owns them. Let's see. There used to be this flow chart that would show you like who owned who in podcasting. But I don't know where you find that anymore.
Well, they have investor relations. Are they public?
Oh, gosh, are they? Well, are they public, Eric?
Here we go. Well, they're in Sweden. Okay, they're in Sweden.
Okay.
So they might be listed.
I have a different potential. Is it the crypto involvement that causes hesitancy?
No.
Being that
No, you don't have to implement that. You don't have to implement anything.
But do they know that? That's what I'm saying. Because we talk about it as, you know, it's all part and parcel. So you get one, you get the other. And I don't know if, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a distinction between all the other namespace tags. And then there's the value. You know what I'm saying? There's two.
I understand. I think we can give people more credit. If you're in the business. No, I think it's purely... Who are these guys? I think it's still, who are these guys? What are they doing? What's the deal? It's open source. I think that's a lot of that.
Okay.
I mean, so right. Now the smart people, and I would say some of them come from France. I know. I'm showing my cards here, but when the French Library Association says, hey, this is the right. This thing is the right thing to do. Let's reach out. We want now. What do they want, Eric? Because I'm not quite sure. They wanted to access.
They want everything.
Okay, what does that mean?
My understanding. They want access because they're a library, so they want access to the database.
Right. They don't need much permission for that, do they? Or are they just checking to see if they won't hammer us, or what's the deal?
I don't know. I mean, we're still early on, but just looking into what they're doing and just the initial emails, they want kind of an ongoing direct bulk access, and because they want to, they're archivists, you know, they want to have it all.
God, could they also, that'd be great. First of all, thanks to Benjamin Bellamy for jumping on that and
totally
and facilitating the communication. Because I just picked it up from the general info at podcastindex.org. I'm looking at it, I'm like, I think I know what they're asking. Throw it through the Google Translate. I still don't know exactly what they're asking.
I picked up about 20% of what I was reading. And then the Benjamin Bellamy's response, I picked up 0%.
Yeah. Well, yeah, anyway, my point is that those are people who, first of all, have no budget, I'm sure. You know, they just survive on whatever their existing budget is. You know, just for operating library. I've done a lot for library. I love libraries, what's left of them. But they clearly see that this is a great way to go.
Well, it's a huge library. I mean, it's like 70,000 books in this library. It's an enormous library.
Is it just one library or is it a whole bunch of them? Or how does that work? Do you know?
From what I can tell, it's one specific, but it's an enormous library in Switzerland. Mm.
It's in Switzerland? Oh, I thought it was in Paris.
No, it's French-speaking Swiss.
Oh, this is why the French was difficult. I got it.
Correct.
Oh, that's right. In Switzerland, there's like four or five different dialects.
Italian.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So Acast, interesting.
I don't know. I mean, they clearly love RSS and are committed to openness. So I'm assuming they'll show up at some point.
What I like about Podcast One is this is the way I probably should have tried to do it at Podshow. Although I still have my doubts. They bought a number of hits early on. I think Adam Carolla show. I'm just going back to Podcast One.
Oh, is Carolla at that?
Yeah, I think so. One? Yeah. Okay. Cause he brought in a couple of people and they were stars and they were going to create a network. And this was quite a while ago. Now that I think about it. So who knows how they're doing, and they have, some kind of advertising. They're basically running it like radio. And so now you have the Launchpad One, which is what I thought Spotify was doing, which they're not. Launchpad One is kind of like, you know, do your thing. We'll help you with donations. We'll take a 4% processing fee. So it's kind of a hybrid model, but definitely, I mean, it's going to be a farm team for them to see if anything crops up. And in the meantime, they can really drive a lot of innovation because they're also the hosting company, you know, the hosting and the network and they want to be open and they only want 4%. I mean, I'd say they're serious players. And think about it. Why don't they take 4% of a value block that would be just as good for them?
I wonder when other hosting companies will, because you think about networks and hosts, but then there's a couple of these that are like both. And I wonder if eventually that's where everything will go, is the hosting companies will begin to begin to operate more like networks.
I think a lot of them tried early on, and that's how they kind of also got into the advertising game. But you have to have so much scale and such big hits for the advertising game. Whereas, you know, this is the way I see it. In essence, it's a Patreon type back end that's bolted onto a hosting company that does have a promotional arm that can be used if that promotional arm wants to. But in the meantime, the value proposition you're getting, I think, is better than some of the other free services, because they're pretty honest up front. They're not saying free. They're saying, hey, we're going to help you make money. We're going to take 4% of the transaction.
What would keep somebody like Buzzsprout from going out there and just and finding a hot show and say, and just doing a deal and saying, okay, you're going to be our, I mean, essentially what they do with, take Podland. I mean, Podland is brought to you by Buzzsprout. I mean, could they go out and get somebody like a, you know, I don't know, just a hot podcast and that's got not mega, not Rogan size, but that middle tier is profitable, making money, and say, okay, we'll do a deal with you, and then but it's going to be brought to you by Buzzcast. You don't go exclusive. You keep the RSS. You stay in the open ecosystem, but you begin to sort of build up a portfolio of like mid-level talent there.
Yeah, but what is the goal? What is the goal? If you have just a hit, is it just about money, or is it bringing in more people because you have an offer? By the way, I would advise against it.
What they do is
they have a marketing budget and they spread stuff around. And they do that. I think they do that very wisely, and they're in targeted places. You know, where do you think podcasters may want to hear about hosting features? Well, Podland, that would be a good one. You know, but maybe not. I mean, the Rogan thing is not comparable to. I mean, and you can see it. There's no metrics. They really don't. The only metric is, yeah, we got new people using the podcast. Or not even that. New people. Consuming, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like, okay, conversions for Rogan, but yet overall monthly average use is down, or average monthly users is down.
One thing I thought was interesting on the
shit. Hold on, is that users or usage, Eric? MAU.
I thought it was users.
I think it's users too.
I'm not so sure now.
Other thing. Are they kind of trying to...
Monthly active users. Yeah, okay.
Monthly active users.
Yeah. So I think there's stuff is changing. You know, something is definitely up. These companies are mature. I had not paid attention to Podcast One for a long, long time. In fact, when I heard the Podland episode, I'm like, well, this guy's cruising for a lawsuit. How can he call it Podcast One when that already exists?
It was the same guy.
Yeah, well, he was talking about Launchpad One, but then I was like, oh, okay, this is the flip side to Podcast One. They must have bought that. Did they buy the Launchpad, or they created it themselves?
I think they just spawned it themselves.
And another reason why the CTO can call you and say, hey, you know, I'm interested because I actually know how this thing works. I don't have to talk to a team that we bought.
Yeah.
I can talk to, you know, my main guys, you know, gals, peoples.
So that kind of goes off. Do you want to talk about anything about the new site, Eric? It's kind of related. I mean, you're in the home stretch of that thing right now, and this would be, this is a way for, we're hoping that the new site will be able to interface with, a lot of this stuff where the hosters can't necessarily do the value block. This is what this is going to help with. You want to sort of go into that at all?
Yeah. I mean, where to start?
Well, how far away do you think it is? A couple weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say, depending on how testing goes, but I'd say, yeah, a week, week and a half, and we can start rolling some stuff out.
Is this a type of rollout that goes all in one, or do we do section by section?
We're going to, we'll probably roll the front end site up and the admin will get rolled out. At least the admin with a lot of the features kind of coming on board over time. Cause it's going to be kind of like, yeah, we're going to switch out, roll out the platforms and then kind of just start adding and turning on the things that are kind of being built and tested as we go. Cause there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle coming together.
Can you tell us about So the admin, what is just the general idea of Podcast Index having an admin at all? Who is this for? Is it for all users? What can you do? What is the purpose? Do you need to have it? Is that enough questions?
Take all of those in order.
Yeah. Okay. So first question. So the admin is kind of the same way that you have an admin for Google. It's like you can go in, you can see. So the idea is the podcaster can go in, see how we're managing their feeds. They can update us directly. And in the case of the value block, if they have a host that doesn't support, you know, they can't edit their feed, they can tell us, which then we tell the 2.0 apps when they query, Here's the value block information. So we can kind of bolt on and supplement and enable them to be, to do the value block and start streaming payments when their host isn't necessarily up to speed yet on the 2.0 namespace.
Excellent.
And so, yeah, that's, so that, that's the admin. And then obviously that would be where we would start, delivering stats and reporting that we have access to and help supplement and give them information related to their podcast and preferably maybe even query stats so they can see, just like Google, you can see how many times, you know, people are querying and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Now for the listen side. So when people show up and, you know, obviously you can search and you know, that's something that people may not be showing up for, or they are, how do we work in the, right off the bat, I really think we need to find a way to get people to want to try a new app. And maybe it's just as simple as saying, try a podcasting 2.0 app now, right at the top.
Right.
You know, just like, and then take it to a page, which ideally I would say, the developers themselves manage their own, you know, detail.
Because in my head, and this is going to be kind of the, we need to still handle and onboard listeners, even though we're not providing an app. We're delivering content and the app. And so listeners are going to come to us to look for potentially both new things to listen to, or to find their podcast or find a new app. And so, yeah, we do need to, in that listen page, we do have to, we really want to push the, we want to push the apps and say, okay, yeah, you, look, your podcast that you listen to are here. Here's some more that you might be interested in. And oh yeah, look at all the features that 2.0 delivers for you as a listener, mm-hmm. you know, and why you should be using a 2.0 app and supporting your podcast this way.
Can we do a platform query so that we, when you know, get an app, it sends someone to a page that has the apps. So if you're iOS, you get iOS and easily. Web apps. Yeah,
easily.
That I think that's probably a cool idea because you know it's so much easier from a user perspective than kind of hunting around which one.
Yeah,
you know, right. And they always have their Android apps, desktop apps this way. But I think web apps should be included in every search, obviously, as a result.
Once the value block goes in, so just so people are clear, this is a the onboarding site that Eric is in the home stretch of building here is going to be a replacement for Podcaster for podcastindex.org and Podcaster Wallet, both.
Right.
We're just going to take those two things and merge them into one coherent site where if you're a podcaster, you can go and claim your feed in the index and then insert the value block for yourself with splits and all that jazz. And then also get in the next step would be at redirect, you know, shown where an app is that will support 2.0. So if that's the case, then what you could do is you could like have a list of apps there. And if you click on it or tap on it or whatever, then it kicks you out to an app with your podcast preloaded.
Yeah. Nice.
Like, because almost all the apps now support, you know, hot linking or deep linking directly into a show from a link.
Right.
That would be pretty cool.
You know, one day my dream will come true where the podcaster maintains their podcast feed in the same app that it's consumed in. One day.
The WYSIWYG.
Yeah, like Microsoft Word, you know. You write it in Word, you read it in Word.
Well, I think on the podcast detail page on the listen side, we can actually just do all of the podcasts. I added or started building in the kind of the directory so that the apps can go in to update their information, their links, their logo.
Good.
And but also I built it in so the directory has categories. So if we have a wallet provider or a node provider or a web host, they can put their stuff in so that people, so both the podcaster and listener side can find the relevant.
Ah, good.
Both for the on-ramp and for just when they're on the site. So on the detail page for a podcast, we can have all the links to the podcast. Like here's all the 2.0 apps. Yeah, yeah. Here's the link. And then do what Dave said, which is then we can go right into their app.
Right.
And send them right there.
Right.
And onboard them right into the app.
So, God, that's cool.
So I've got an idea though. Check this out. So
whenever a pilot says, check this out, you know, you're going to die.
Pilot version of hold my beer.
So in the future, once we get this thing stable, then, because we are talking about the way this is going to work is you're going to have the onboarding site and then you're going to put in your value block and it's going to call a private API back to the index that will, allow whatever your value block is that you put in, it'll allow it to be stuck directly into your feed as we know it in the index so that
correct.
Podcast apps that use us can get your value block out. So step two in the future, once this stuff's working and jiving, is that we can go to the host and update the host. So Buzzsprout.
Sexy.
Well, Buzzsprout allows custom, you can open a support ticket and put in a custom, and they will put in custom XML for you. So we could work with the hosts, like in this case, Buzzsprout, to maybe develop a private API where so we can hand off. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the piece of XML and you don't have to open up a support ticket. You'd have to go through some review process or something like that maybe, but.
So you're just handing back the entire namespace elements or just the XML block or.
Yeah, just the value for
right, the value tag. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's almost like Podping in reverse, but for value blocks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's reverse Podping.
RPP. And I want to emphasize, man, Eric, I really appreciate the amount of work you're putting into doing this. I mean, this is not trivial. Yeah. Certainly on some of the stats side and stuff that you've been working on for the podcasters. It's a lot of work, and it's kind of fun to see you and Dave doing that on the on our Signal chat.
You know, it's beautiful.
I just stepped back.
It's figuring out how to make some of these things happen with the parameters we have with Lightning and everything else too. Is kind of a
because you're talking about doing. Stats from both directions. So like if it's an LNPay hosted wallet, you could get stats through that. Or if they have a private node, they could provide you with a macaroon and then you could pull the stats off of their thing. I mean, that's coming down the line, but like you're talking about going both directions with it to get some stats.
Right. So that podcasters, because again, we're trying to, you know, if they want a LNPay route, and go the non-custodial if they want to go, you know, or custodial. And if they want to, you know, run their own or whatever, we can. And even if they don't want to do value enable, we can still hopefully give them as much stats and data as we can give them. So it's all just consolidated.
And you've already got the Satoshi stream thing. I mean, like, I think you showed me that this morning, right?
Yeah.
Like, that part's done. So people can onboard onto Satoshi stream straight off.
Direct.
Really? Right? And it connects and it works? And you get all the data, or how does that function?
We're not pulling data from Satoshi Stream right now, but we are onboarding. So if somebody wants
the vendor directory is plugged in. Yes. Gotcha.
Right.
So you have front to back someone showing up saying, yeah, I want to value for value enable my feed, the verification, and then you choose Satoshi Streams and it works.
And then it's hooked up and then we give them the next step per Satoshi Stream's instructions. And then they take the next steps to go finish what they need to do relative to that vendor. And if we have another vendor who comes along, they can get plugged into the on-ramp as well.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that people need to understand is that number one, the XML, the value block and everything in the namespace is all open. We don't control it.
No.
But number two is that we make our 1% off of the whole thing. We make that through our relationship with the apps. And so anything on the back end, like Satoshi Stream or LNPay or Voltage or anything, anybody can do these things on the back end. And it's not any sort of skin off our back at all. That's the more pathways to onboarding,
the better. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's no siloing going on the back of our system. It's purely just onboard as many people as you can get, because that's how you grow the system.
Last night, Tina and I went to the Max and Stacy Kaiser F. Elon
how did that
punk
go?
Party in Austin.
I saw Stacy had orange hair.
Yeah, and Max wore his Bitcoin swimming trunks. It was kind of exactly what you'd expect from you know, a hastily organized punk bash kind of thing. It was at the right place. The spider ballroom in Austin is perfect. You know, they have poetry slams and drag competitions. What was interesting to me is the amount of people. Now, mind you, this of course is a Bitcoin crowd, but even the Bitcoin crowd, you know, there's still a lot of exposure that all of this needs. A lot of people were talking about streaming Satoshis. A lot of them. And that's what they... Streaming sats, man. I love it.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really... And I got to talk about it with Stacy for, you know... What is interesting, because what she really highlighted, and she knows this crowd, is their audience, was F the middleman. People love that aspect of it. They think, what? Well, you're take... So even Patreon... You're like, F Patreon. Like, okay. Because the whole idea of the middleman is something that this group, and I'd say they're all kind of the same age. You know, they're all older millennials, 25 to 35 in that range. They're sick of it. They're sick of the middleman. They love this idea of freedom.
Well, it's also total privacy as well. Because I don't know, if y'all listened to that, I think it's Dutch, the event, what's the name of that? It's one of the Bitcoin magazine podcasts, I think. It's called the...
Is that the one Marnix does? Is that the
one? It's like Van Weerdum Schwarznado.
Van Nordum Sharknado? What?
I don't know what that is. Yeah, that was my
pronunciation of Dutch.
Yeah, that was my Dutch.
Is it in hold on. It would be in the Breeze app, right? I could find it in...
It's a V-A-N-W-I-R-D-U-M. Von Weerdum?
Von Weerdum, yeah.
Oh, they see there.
Weerdum.
Pretty good.
Bitcoin.
S-J-O-R...
Oh, yeah, Schwarznado. That is actually funny. That Schorsch is a Dutch name. And, and he's actually making a play on Sharknado by saying Schwarznado.
Okay.
Yeah.
That show, I think I sent y'all a link. He had they did a special with one of the Lightning Core developers about channels and how the channels work. And it was excellent. I recommend anybody to go and listen to that episode. It was fantastic because they go into every detail of the way channel routing works, and how the failures inform the route in the future. And so everything is done through routing pairs. So you had two, if a pair of nodes fail, then that pair will be demoted for future.
Priorities. Oh, wow. It's the technical side of Bitcoin, the Van Weerdum Schwarznado, and it's the Lightning Network routing episode 41. I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, yeah. Excellent material. And one of the things, because we were trying to find, as part of our stats stuff, we were trying to find the source of the source pub key for who initiated the payment.
Right. I remember that.
And in listening to the in-depth of the routing, now I know why we can't find that. It's because every step of the chain is private.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, this you can find out some stuff, but you're never going to get down to that, or not easily going to get down to that level without some external data.
Yeah, all you know is the is sort of the last hop in the chain.
Yes.
And so, I mean, like that's another reason why, you know, people would get excited about this is you've got the ability to make payments and agreements between, you know, two private parties, but then you don't really know how to track it. You really can't track it as in order to man in the middle it, so to speak.
Right.
You can't jump in between and become some proxy. So you've got that ultimate thing. Good.
I don't know. There's the flip side to that, which is then it makes record keeping and the accounting side kind of a pain in the ass.
There's also
next to impossible.
There's also another aspect to it, which we've already seen in society. I love the history of money. And one thing that I just can't read enough of is the perception of money and different types of money and how coin is perceived. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why coins are the way they are or the way bills are the way they are. And it's not just for security. It's how people feel about them and how they attach value and all these. And, you know, when you move over to Venmo, very different type of value and what they feel is for big money or little money. This is yet another kind of evolution of a value transfer that, you know, we've been used to putting a credit card on file with someone and then either it's all you can eat or you pay per time you go. This is yet something else altogether. It's like now I'm activating a payment with the press of a button.
Yeah. That's what got me so jazzed when I saw the CurioCaster tip jar thing this morning.
Yes, it's sexy. I was like, it's like, wow, I just want to hit this. It's beautiful.
All of a sudden I was like, oh my God, this is the dream. I mean, like, this is literally even more so than the per minute streaming, being able to go and just do a direct payment. And there was no invoices involved, nothing like that. It's just, here's a person. I can just pay them.
Just squirt some sats.
Yeah.
But you know what? When people start to do music with this, and there was a developer yesterday who approached me. He said, hey man, what's the cross-platform thing for apps?
Flutter?
Flutter. Yeah, thank you. Do you guys need any developers? First of all, we always need people who know how to develop. And please, you know, just join us and let's see what you can do. Say, I'm really interested in music. And so, perfect. Make a music app. And then can you just imagine you hit the tip jar for a guitar solo?
No, man.
And it can be synced right to the guitar solo. I mean,
okay, I have information on that.
No, okay. I was just going to say,
yeah, go ahead.
I love having the two of you with these conversations because, you know, on the one hand, how you're going to put it together. Eric's already thinking about the graphical display of those statistics. You just imagine, like, you play in the song, you can see which band member is getting more sats. Like a sliding scale. Well, there you go. I mean,
as if bands needed more reasons to break up.
That's the punchline right there. Yeah.
My son is in a metal band. They have... he's in a thrash metal band. He plays bass, and they just recorded their first album.
Cool.
So they've got six original songs, and I talked to the band the other day, and I've talked them into letting us release it as an album through as a podcast album, value for value.
Wow.
And they'll take so within, like, they've already got the first two songs mastered. So within a couple of weeks, they'll have the full album mastered and we'll be able to release it.
That is so cool.
Yeah, they're excited about it. I mean, because they're teenagers. They're like, oh, this is so cool.
And now the podcasting 2.0 dramatized version of what happened to Dave's house. Listen, kids, if you still want to rehearse in this garage, you're going to do this shit value for value, okay?
It's 2 o'clock in the effing morning.
Yep. Well done, sir. Well played.
Thank you. No, they're going to be they're jazzed. They're jazzed about it.
No. Nope. Very cool. Hey, before I forget, we need to, you had some namespace stuff you wanted to talk about that we, you said we're going to carry over to today. And I think we should seriously do a GUID update. And you've got clips and we have people to thank. And your dog, you know, what's
my
up with the dog,
freaking
man?
Out.
What's wrong?
Let me go shut him up.
All right. Eric and I will talk.
Totally.
Eric, thank you so much. I just got the gift before we started recording.
You get it's, you know,
it is.
We you know, we have it in the house.
So, no, it is fantastic. I want to wait until Dave's back. I want him to hear what you sent us. It also guilt him that he sent me nothing. Guilt him into it. Cheap bastard. I move across the state of Texas. 50 miles. You could have at least recognized my trip. Dave, you back?
Well, you officially moved into Texas.
It's true. I was just mentioning that Eric and his family, actually, with a beautiful card, sent us a housewarming gift, and it arrived just before the show. Check it out. So it's all Texas themed. So there's a Texas beer cozy. There's a Texas coasters, a beautiful Lone Star flag, and then a welcome mat, which is really interesting because we've been looking for a welcome mat, and we hadn't quite decided on one. And this one says, "Come back with a warrant."
Nice. Come back with a warrant and 4 more inches on your barrel.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it says, yeah, this is your welcome to Texas, your Texas welcome kit, asterisk, firearms sold separately.
The only thing that could make it better would be a deep fried Snickers. From the Texas fairground,
exactly.
Baby.
Exactly. Nah, you know it. You know it. Yeah, we were talking namespace GUIDs and such.
Oh, were we? Okay. Well, I don't know. What do we want to do? I've got a couple of, I don't know if I have any clips that are really good for what we're talking about today. I do have a couple of ISOs, though. You want to throw an ISO out there? Sure,
why not? What you looking at?
Give me ISO a little bit meta.
This is a little bit meta.
Wow. Which show is this from?
That is from the... God, wasn't it Rising?
This is a little bit meta.
I might have to steal that for No Agenda.
Yeah, yeah, good for it.
That's really good. I like it.
That's from the Taibbi interview on the I think it's the Rising show. It's on some.
Oh, is that with Crystal Ball?
I don't know if that is that Crystal Ball
from the Hill. Isn't the Rising or am I?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's from the Hill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then let's see. There's this one. ISO basically the facts.
Basically the facts.
I get a kick out of that.
Basically, the facts.
Facts. For some reason, I just love the, maybe it's the word fact or something, but when kids do it too. I have one from a kid somewhere.
Oh, that's the old school one. That one from a long time ago.
Fact. Yes. No. Yeah. That one. Where'd that come from?
I sent you that clip 10 years ago.
No.
Yes, that was my clip.
You and who is that? Where'd you get it from?
It came from a YouTube video series called it's like Kid History, I think is the name of it. And it's kids retelling their parents' stories from when they're so the parents would tell them stories from when they were young about crazy stuff that the parents did. Yeah. And then the kids will retell it back, and the parents will act it out as if the horrible, incorrect retelling of them trying to get it right was actually what happened. It's really funny, but anyway, that came from that.
Yeah, and it would be great if I could find it now that we've gone through this whole explanation of how long we've had this exchange, but I just can't seem to find it. So
yeah, so GUIDs, they're generating right now. And so I wanted to sort of think this through. There's a by GUID endpoint.
Sorry.
That's it. That's it.
Sorry about that. Yes.
Yeah. That's from that video.
2013. I have it. 2013.
Yeah. That was for me.
Wow.
Let's see. So the idea behind the GUID is a way for for you to track or address. Really, it's not, it's address, for a way for you to address a podcast universally, no matter what platform it's being referenced on. And you would think, well, okay, we'll just use the URL, duh. But the URL changes because people change hosts sometimes.
Yes.
So the idea of the GUID is pretty clear, but they're needed to, those GUIDs needed to exist. So if we're going to end up with, once we pre-generate all these GUIDs, and ultimately it doesn't matter what the GUID is. I mean, the GUID doesn't have, because once you have a GUID, it just, it stays the same for the rest of the life of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Like an ISBN number for a book.
Bing is exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. So the the next question is, how do we provide a way for people
for that to get? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Go ask your question.
To get it back to the source, or to get it, wouldn't mm-hmm. you want that to go back to the host so the host also knows about this?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. Okay. How do we get it back into the ecosystem so that people know what their GUID is?
Right.
And so I'm thinking that maybe we just put it as a QR code or something like that on their podcast page.
Okay. Wow. Okay. This is cool. Because now you have a universal way to subscribe with a QR code.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh my God. And we can do badges and all kinds of cool things. Like, it's cool to have a low number.
It's cool. Well, there's no such thing as a low number because they're all 40 bits.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. You tech guys have no idea what marketing is. The QR code is great. I love that idea. Universal. Shouldn't it be a... What does QR stand for? Uh-huh. Stumped.
Eric, what does QR code stand for?
Let me see if I can recall off the top of my head.
Is it a trademark? Quick response code.
Quick response.
Quick response. So how about a QS code?
If I recall.
How about a QS code?
Quick shit?
Quick subscribe.
Ah, quick subscribe.
Or we could do a QF. Quick follow.
Quick follow.
Seriously. I mean, this is up for grabs as far as I'm concerned. Quick listen.
I like this.
QS. I think QS code.
So if we do a QS code, then if you link, it would be a link to something. What would be ideal was be have a link to something that lets them, that shows it. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, well, we could do it as the shortened URL.
Oh, a URL short, the bit.ly type thing.
Mm-hmm. Because I have...
What's the point?
Well, the idea is that we could then redirect to whatever their page happens to be. Because if the host page, the RSS feed, is a transitory, and the idea is that this GUID and the QR code would be...
Right. You know, oh, okay. So, but it... I get it. So, in effect... We'd be rebouncing, but anyone could do that because you can. The QR code has the GUID in it,
right?
So we're not doing it on a URL. We're doing it based on a GUID,
right?
Fantastic way to. I'm sure this is what Amazon does when you walk into a bookstore and you scan the barcode ISBN number. They just look it up and they sell it to you cheaper, right?
Right.
I love this.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Well, if we do, so if we have the GUIDs, then, and we have the onboarding site done, then people would be able to let us know, go in and change their URL. For a lot of URL changes, we pick it up automatically. If they properly set a 301, we'll pick mm-hmm. that up and we'll change it in the DB. But for other scenarios where they leave their host and never tell it, and they just let their account expire, but then they go over here to host, you know, XYZ and just create a podcast over here with the same name.
Right. And, go back in, log in, and update us.
Yeah, they can just come in and switch their feed, and then we can and at that point the GUID maintains its relationship properly, and then people can just download our database from time to time or use our tracking endpoints or whatever, and they can track that. And what we could do is create a URL endpoint, an API endpoint that tells recent changes, so that you could see when things move. That would be another possibility, and it would just have the GUID and the new URL. What do you think about that?
Yeah, or just a straight GUID to link return, so it just so you can do a quick translation of the current. Mm-hmm. You know, so if someone else wanted to do a referral system. You see what I'm saying?
Then they So I'm thinking of like Podlink and Podpage, and those guys could do Plink. That's what I'm thinking of. Plink. They could get in this game and sort of they could create these nice landing pages that have you have a GUID in it, and then somebody hits the GUID of their service. And then it shows like a whole batch of do you want to listen in this app or this app or this app, you know, a bunch of universal hits like that,
right?
And then, this is very exciting. Just from a historical perspective, make sure we haven't overlooked anything. Why has no one done this? I mean, QR codes have been around for a long time. Is it just no one said, oh, we'll create a GUID, or everyone basically used the iTunes ID? I mean, is that kind of where that went?
iTunes ID.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, and on that note, I've been thinking about this.
You want to buy Apple? Okay. Hold on a second. Wait, let me find some money.
Before you go there, Adam, I think the reason is because most of the companies that could implement this aren't thinking about podcasters. They're thinking about themselves. It's not about promoting.
Yeah. Good point.
You see what I'm saying? It's about it doesn't make them any money. They don't care.
It's so interesting that it's so hard for people to believe that everyone's kind of in this just to make the industry better. I think that truly is one of the reasons why people, you know, are not initially interested, because, you know, there's no big money. There's no big PR push. It's, you know, open source. I think people really underestimate what's going on. And
we're not creating a walled garden, so that's not, you know.
People aren't used to free open space. What's that? That's scary looking.
Freedom.
Oh, my. Oh, no. I don't want that pasture.
Sorry, Dave. Anyway.
No, have either of y'all read the book Caves of Steel by Isaac Asimov?
Wait. Okay. No, I don't think so.
It's a future society where everybody... where all of civilization ends up living in these mega cities that have maybe, you know, 50 billion people in one city. And then all the cities are, because the population is so high, they have to do things like large soy based farms. It's like Soylent Green, you know, type crap. Yeah. And so then, but all these cities are under domes. They're under these massive steel domes. And everybody lives under these domes their entire life. And so they end up over time, they become from birth, they become accustomed to life inside the dome. And even the thought of outside open spaces and the open sky, blue sky and green grass, like gives them trepidation. They freak out.
Wow.
They have like an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what's going on in the podcast world. They're everybody's so accustomed to silos and walled gardens. And that's how you make money, is by capturing part of the industry, not by serving it, that they can't, it's like, they don't know how to think about, you know, oh my God, open source. I don't trust it. They must have some ulterior motive, you know.
There's another version of that, and I wish I could sound cool and have like some Asimov book to refer to, but it's probably some shitty movie where the trick is to get the inmates to build the prison themselves.
Oh, that's like public school.
in a way. Yeah. And
or cancel culture.
Yeah. So you just build everything. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of what society is kind of going through. And, you know, freedom is in some ways is almost seen as, oh man, what are you talking about, Willis? That's kind of crazy. This freedom talk.
Was it Ron Paul's old yarn when he said, whenever you see them building the border wall, it's not to keep them out, it's to keep you in.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's.
But I like that. That's a very exciting idea.
Yeah. So we'll get there. I just want to map, sort of pick y'all's brain and see what we need to do. Map it out. Let's see what else we got. Y'all got anything?
Let me just check. Eric, you got anything?
No, I've been neck deep in.
Oh,
money laundering rigs.
I saw something interesting. The N2N, I guess, is getting close to. Something's working over there. I think you retweeted it, or you replied to his tweet.
Yeah, Paul, was it Paul? No, Justin. Justin.
Was on. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He had tweeted this morning that they've onboarded a podcaster, and he was
some doctor, some doctor guy.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure it's like a naturopath doctor type guy.
Here's what was interesting. Someone replied to that tweet. This is like the gossip of the Lightning Network. Let me see. What is what's his name? Justin
Rizvani. Rizvani.
Yeah, exactly. Oops. Let me see if I can find this. Justin. Why does this take so long? Now, anyway, the gist was someone says, wow, does Paul know you did this? And he replied,
yeah, I saw that.
And he replied, yeah, I brought Paul on or something like that. That's why I want to get it exactly. I don't want to misstate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul is the name of the doctor who's on that podcast.
Oh, okay.
You were thinking it was Paul Etor.
Yes. I'm like, what? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Good, good, good. I was like, holy crap. Did I miss something here? No.
Yeah, because I thought the same thing. And then I realized that it's like Paul Sorrentino or something is the name of the podcast.
Ah, okay. Good, good, good.
Did you read Roy's article?
No, did Roy he just release a new one? He sends me a signal message when he's done something like that.
Well, he released, let's see, it was on Bitcoin Magazine. It's called Scaling Lightning.
Ooh, no, I haven't seen that.
Very good article. He says, I'll read a piece of it here. He says, people keep calling Bitcoin a Trojan horse to express the idea that it invisibly contains things like freedom and sovereignty that surprise those who adopt it. First, I'd like to suggest a new metaphor. Bitcoin adoption does not bear invisible consequences, but they're far more appealing than a bunch of tired, sweaty, grumpy Greek soldiers hiding in an elaborate piece of furniture. Bitcoin is cake, and what's inside is candy. In fact, there are several different kinds of candy inside, beyond just sweet sovereignty and delicious freedom. The only violence ensuing from this metaphor is the dentist chair. So anyway, very good article.
Yeah, I have it now. Put that in the show notes as well. Thanks. Good tip. Yeah. What's up, Roy? Roy, usually you put me in your list of people who are going to tweet your stuff. No more love.
No, he gave us some love. He hooked me up with a guy who really wants to help us on some Bitcoin tech stuff. So
cool.
I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, in the real board meeting, you mean?
Yeah, in the board meeting, in the post board meeting, in
the real board meeting.
Yeah, I would drop it right in the after meeting.
should we thank some people? Do you want to do some more namespace? Is there anything we're missing? Yeah. I know what we're missing. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do thank yous, and then we got to talk about the Jitsi call, the developer call about comments. That was very interesting. I want to report back.
All right. Let's see. Oh God, how did I end up with this? No, I've got an article in the middle of my donation letter stack.
Okay. An art? Is it a good article?
It is the article from. Let's see. Submit your podcast to the podcast index from Stephanie. Oh, I forgot her name. Ficino. Let's see, but I will. Okay, I got. I'm undiscombobulated now.
Well, this
I'm recombobulated.
For those of you who are new, this entire project is value for value. So there's no. You probably figured out by now. There's no corporate money. This is all based upon the value that people put in with their time, their talent, and their treasure. If you're not developing, if you're not promoting, if you feel like you want to help us, then financially is always welcome. We keep costs as low as possible. That's part of the beauty of Dave Jones. He is the stingiest man. What are we running now? $450 a month?
About $450 overall. Yeah,
that's
I'm cool. not. Well, Eric is at least as stingy as I am.
We also. Fund our Lightning channels. So it's all in the liquidity. It's all basically locked up in Bitcoin on the channels. But we love receiving your cuck bucks as well. So if you want to help us out, go to podcastindex.org, scroll to the bottom. You'll see the big red donate button. Click on that. Goes through PayPal. And of course, on the new site, I'm sure we'll have some other forms of payment possible, Eric.
Yep.
Yep. And we love thanking the people who have sent us some support.
One of those people was Baron Sir D.H. Slammer.
Ah.
Gave us $5.
Thank you very much.
He says, thank you for your courage and passion.
Yes. Passion we have.
Thank you, Baron. Let's see. Who we got here? Oh, $73.73. 73s. From Neil Chapman. And Neil says, great job, guys. Please keep it up. Dave, are you a radio ham? I am. KC4NXA.
Oh, 73s. Well,
expired.
Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie.
If not, I think you should be an honorary ham as you're helping to save the world, too. Goes for Eric also.
Eric, do you have your ticket?
Not yet. I have the radio and the guide, and it's just one of those things that... Mm-hmm.
You know, you can walk into that test. You read the book once. It's all the same answers. It's just out of order. Multiple choice. It's three of them. You know, it's like, and in fact, they always say, hey, you want to take your general? And I almost made it. I didn't know I could do that. I almost made the general. I just had to wait for the next appointment. Same thing.
Just back in the day, back when I took my novice, like I've read the current book to recertify. I've read it twice and still haven't taken the test. But when I took my novice, back in, this would have been like 1989 or 90, I think. Or no, it was like 90 or 91. You had to pass the Morse code requirement. So the general was much harder because you had to do a faster word per minute.
Was it 12?
I don't remember.
15, 12 or 15?
I passed the novice pretty easily, but the general was such a step up. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it.
And that was always the limiting factor. And that's kind of what I liked about it. It's like, because, you know, it's still pretty easy to answer the questions, but you had to sit down, you had to, you know, set up a Morse code testing rig or whatever, and you had to learn. And I kind of liked that requirement.
I liked it too.
We're just getting a bunch of nanny hams, man. They can't do no code.
Bunch of snowflakes.
Snowflake, no coding, snowflake hammies. What do you get off my lawn? That's not true. In fact, the ham community is desperate for younger people. Desperate. That's why all the digital stuff is cool, man. Stuff they're doing digital.
They used to call it packet, right? Packet radio.
Well, yeah. I mean, now it's you had JX11. We had the one that, gosh, this is how long I haven't done it for, like, almost 3 years. Be low power, you know, like half a watt, 500 milliwatts, bouncing off to Japan, and it reports back on PSK Reporter. It's crazy stuff.
God, I remember that first. I remember the first time that we made contact with somebody that was truly far away, someplace in South America. Oh man, that is such a thrill. I know that sounds like the nerdiest, goofiest thing to say, but it really is, thinking that, oh my God, I'm bouncing this signal off the ionosphere, maybe maybe 20 times in order to land in a country that's literally 6,000 miles away. It's, and you're doing it on, you know, 4 watts or whatever. It's pretty insane.
The I don't know, what was that now? 4 years ago, I received one of the first Lightning invoices. Was it FT8, I think, maybe? Or JT65, I think. And so I just received a very short invoice code, which I could then translate into receiving Lightning, and it had a wallet attached to it. And that was sent over, the low bandwidth, or, you know, the very, very narrow bandwidth. I think that was JT65 or FT8. It's arguable if that was the first Bitcoin transaction through ham radio, because it wasn't truly an actual transaction, but Bitcoin was passed off to me. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Neil. Appreciate those 73s.
Yeah, but hey, for those of you who have not left us yet, the reason why we the reason why we're so incessant about this is because we all know that when the apocalypse comes.
Now, here we have ham radio, guys. Ham radio is the public service network of last resort. When the apocalypse comes, we're the guys who are going to save the world, right?
Basically, the facts.
And speaking of, if James Cridlin, if he's not a ham, then he's a poser. He's an old school. I mean, he's a radio guy. If he's not have a ham radio license, then he needs to get out of here. Mark Bruno gave us $10. He says, "Thank you for setting up a podcast directory for everybody." Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Let's see. This is from. Oh, I've got a note here. $10.66. And this says, "Hi, Dave. Greetings from Construction Zone 15, orbiting Austin, Texas. Looking forward to what Eric and y'all come up with for the Mom Jeans experience."
Mom Jeans? That's a bastardization from Jeans Mom. I think this might even be better.
It might be.
The Mom Jeans experience.
Looking forward. Looking forward to Eric and y'all come up with for the Mom Jeans experience. I'm fiddling around with the cargo pants dad experience. At least here on the edges as time allows. I'm not a podcaster yet, but still dream of building stuff from semi scratch, including someday perhaps a podcast. Nothing really is built from scratch, of course, but on building blocks that others have built and maintain. Keep on keeping on. Mike Newman, pronounced Newman, not Neumann. I just have some super stubborn German ancestors who probably insisted on keeping the spelling at Ellis Island.
Well, you may not be a podcaster, but
you've been defragmented.
You are defragmented.
Oh, nice. It feels good.
Yeah.
Let's see. And this is just a follow-up from, he did not give a name. He just calls himself Stick from a previous donation. So I thought this may be best way to reach out to Adam and Curry. That's Adam Curry at Podcast Index and the whole community. I was very refreshed and excited about the topics that Adam Curry talked about on Joe Rogan.
Ah.
It is so reassuring that there are communities out here cutting through the crap and fighting for the free world. I just wanted to say thank you to all of you. God bless.
All right, man. We got one. We hooked one. We got one. All right.
One Rogan donation.
Welcome, man. Welcome to the party.
Those are our weekly donors. And then we got some subscription guys that came in this week. David Midas, $10. Joseph Maraca, $5. Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Greg Thomas, $5. Lauren Ball, $24.20. I wonder what the numerology is on that. Podverse LLC, $50.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Brian Fournier, $4.10. Mitch Downey, $10. Mm-hmm. And Chris Chiraburuk, $10. And that's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all very much. Very much appreciated. It's the fuel that keeps it going. But it's the notes, too. For me, it's the notes. I'm like, I love some of these notes. That's why donation segments are really content.
I want to get some notes through through the tip jar, though. I'm really digging.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. No, but it's unfair. I mean, how are you picking them up? I don't have any code.
I'm gonna send you. Look at the. There's a picture in the clips that I sent you.
Oh. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Look at what it looks like.
See how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew you had a picture, I did not look at it.
I knew you wouldn't look at it. Yes, yeah, so of course. Self-restraint. It says donations using the tip TLV.
Oh, hold on a second. Yes. Ah.
That's what it looks like.
Tommy Chong's listening to our show?
Yeah. Oh, you can't see it, Eric. I forgot. You didn't get the clips. Oh, no. Crap. I need to send it to you.
Can I put this in the show notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
There's no incriminating information in that?
Well, I mean, the server name is on there, but I mean, that doesn't help anybody.
Peepaw? What is it? What is your server name?
PiPal.
PiPal. Yeah. PiPal.
Yeah, podcast index, PayPal.
Oh, okay. So you really have a machine, or at least a login on a machine with that account just for that stuff?
Yeah, well, there's one $5 Linode that I'm used to do nothing but node queries and stuff like that to get all the stats.
Hey, do we have any more shirts to send out?
Yeah, we have still a good chunk of the first batch.
No, I mean, do we owe anyone a shirt?
Yeah, there's a half dozen or so going out next week.
Oh, cool. Cool. What are the parameters again of getting one of these nifty shirts, Dave Jones, since it's your idea?
$100 donation.
Oh, that's right. Total, right? That's over total.
Right. $100, I would say $100 donation, or just a robust contribution to the project. I mean, because, you know, we send out some shirts to, like, we're sending out one to James Cridlin this week. We're sending out one to Benjamin Bellamy. I mean, we send out a few to Alex Gates. And we're sending out a few to people who have just done tons of work on the project.
That's legacy. That's back pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Back pay. It's back pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hazard pay. Yeah.
Well, if it's hazard pay, we'll be sending leather motorcycle jackets.
Oh, I want one of those.
We're not there yet.
It's Eric. We're not there yet. Slow down.
We're not there yet.
Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Okay.
Why don't we send everybody a car while we're at it?
This ain't Oprah.
Hey, you know, I am remiss. I have not yet talked to you, Dave, about the podcast movement and if we're going to stay in a hotel or Airbnb. And I just want to talk about the podcast movement in general.
Okay.
Yes,
Melissa's coming with me. She's just going to use it as a personal vacation for herself. So we'll just get our own thing, and you and Tina can get your own thing.
Here's the thing. It falls right on show day.
Oh.
Two show days, in fact, I think.
Okay.
Isn't it our show and No Agenda? Thursday and Friday?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, man. Now, that's not to say that I don't know. I got sour about the Mark Cuban thing. And then I'm just thinking Benjamin Bellamy is going to be presenting. I have no idea how many people will be in person. I think quite a bit, actually. But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. It's a lot of disruption for me.
Because, I can just go by myself.
Yeah, but I feel bad because it was going to be, you know, just the two of us. We can make it if we... Oh, no, Melissa was going to be there, too.
Yeah, Melissa's coming. And I thought you said Tina was going to go as well, too.
Well, and so what I was thinking was I wanted to tie a No Agenda meetup to it. And then I'm like, well, it really should be... my head is just hurting. I moved. My head is hurting. I'm old now. I'm like, holy crap. I just built everything. Got to dismantle this thing, do two shows, and... you know, hang out with people and schmooze around, and Mark Cuban is just there. That's really what tipped me over the edge, quite honestly. It's like, Cuban's there.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a hard one for you.
Now, you guys are driving or flying? Is it a drive for you?
No, it's like 2 hours away.
Ah, yeah. See, that's
Nashville's a hop, skip, and a jump from Birmingham.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a big deal. Melissa was needing some time away to get to prep before school starts anyway. So we're like, oh, let's just make a deal out of it. And then, but I can go. I can go by myself. You don't. I'm just going to, you know, be shaking hands, drinking beers with people and getting to know people. So,
but are you okay with wearing the pickle suit though?
This is something we will need to discuss. I was not aware of this requirement.
You don't know about the podcast pickle guy? That's Gary.
I've not been.
So way back, one of the first podcast conferences, I don't even know what his business was. He has a million businesses. And he was the podcast pickle, and he would have a guy in a pickle suit. Hold on a second, I got to get the history of this. This is like the goatsy of podcasting. Hold on. Well, he made quite a career out of the podcast pickle somehow.
Is this like the naked cowboy that sings and plays music in New York? I mean,
Here we go. Podcast pickle launched in March 2005 by Garrett Leland. I'm reading from Wikipedia. It was both a podcast, videocast, directory, and community. Time Magazine.
Directory.
And community. Yeah. Well, we needed directory, so that was good. I mean, I was never really in the directory business. I didn't even see the value of it because I associated directory with a pickle. Time Magazine listed it as one of its 50 coolest sites in August 2006. More than 12,000 podcasts and vidcasts appeared on the site as of March 2007. Podcast Pickle provided podcast family tree listings. Podcast family tree listings. Oh, podcast players. That? Podcast family tree. I don't know.
Is that like I was on a podcast and then I went and started my own podcast?
Could be. I mean,
now we have a family tree.
Well, it could be very much like the guest or the person tag. Who knows? Podcast players that work on external sites, blogs, profiles, and community forums. The site was shut down in 2015.
That's pretty late.
Yeah, but so he, and I'm not even sure if he made money, how he made money, but he was just such a delightful guy, and he just could not help but love someone who had a guy with a pickle walking around. It was just beautiful. It was, you know, it's just one of those things, one of those people.
I will commit myself to a Podcasting 2.0 t-shirt.
Yes.
Just as far as I'm going.
Okay, all right. How about Melissa?
That's a big, that is a hard no.
Pass.
Yes. No, I could not drag her kicking and screaming to a podcast conference, even if I wanted to. She will be doing her own thing and I will be going to meet with podcast nerds. Yep.
Now we are eventually going to have to do some actual marketing, but I think that the timing is just not right for us right now. Once the site is up, once we've got that going, but I think we have, you know, just through word of mouth, we're getting some people interested and stuff is happening. Dave, I know you're pushing real hard on the hosting side. You talk to a lot of people. And Eric is, sadly, Eric is just going to have to be the one that builds it all. At least that part.
Yeah. I'm juggling the contracts and the code.
Yes.
Briefly, Eric was on the call. Were you on the call, Dave, the developer call, the video call?
Nope.
It was very interesting. I did not. The majority of it was about, well, first of all, I still don't have a Castapod install. Surprise, surprise.
We've got one, but I can't,
I can't get it to work.
I can't get it to import.
I know. No. It was about cross comments, and I think it got to a pretty good place. I don't want to say what any conclusions are, but it seems like there was a lot of consensus for a reference implementation of ActivityPub. With the special Mastodon bits, so it would be compatible. A lot of this based on a presentation that was given to us by Yassine from Castapod. Castapod. Mm-hmm. I love how they say it. Castapod. Eric, did I represent that correctly?
Yeah, it seemed like they have a workable path towards getting this kind of non-centralized commenting. It's interesting. I mean, I came in a little late on the call, but.
Well, and I think we're beyond the point of moderation. We're now down to the point of, you know, there's like a less decentralized way of how the root node is created so that, you know, someone has to be a part of it to start it. And that could be on a per app basis. Really, the push would be for hosting companies to do it, which would not necessarily be a heavy lift, but I'm cautious in saying that.
Dan Benjamin will do it. He'll do anything.
It's like the Mikey of podcasting. Yeah. Mikey will eat anything. What was the beauty of it?
Nobody younger than 40 under gets that reference at all.
Yeah, I know. It probably, 40 or older, actually. Yeah. And then what was there was another extra. Oh, yeah. That I think what it came down to as well, as long as podcasters can opt out or, opt out, I said, I think that's the way it was discussed. As in, okay, I don't want my comments, then, I think there's a path. There's multiple paths.
So that opt out would be a tag?
That's the, yeah. Okay. But there's all, there's some other things that have to be looked at and, it always comes down to source of truth and can you get it into the feed? I mean, that's the bottom line. And all the hacks we're making are really, because hosting companies don't jump to when we say they should jump. We That's say, hey, put this tag in here, hosting company. They all go, F you, Adam Curry.
Yeah. And that, or they say, I don't give a flying F about podcastindex.org. Like, that's the journalist response. I'm sorry.
I'd love to.
That's right now.
Zing. Zing. Oh, hold on a second.
Here's your cue to boost.
You know
you want to.
Boost, everybody. Bring it on.
I would like to play Rogan's Civil Disagreement.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Thing that does give me hope.
Hold on. Let me just jack up the volume a little bit. You're really, just some of your clips are really low, Dave.
I usually amplify them, but I was in a hurry this morning.
You thought, screw it, just leave it up to Curry?
Yeah, it's like when you're drywalling a room, you get a huge gap that looks terrible. You're like, the sheetrock mud guys will get it.
Thing that does
and they're give like, me F you.
I'm sorry. Here we go.
Thing that does give me hope about podcasting is that this podcast, yours, many others, but you can have people of differing political persuasions.
Absolutely.
Have conversations and be civil with each other.
Yeah.
I've had people on this podcast that I fucking violently disagree with.
Sure.
And
you've disagreed with me today, even on things. I think he was actually referring to me in the first bit.
I thought that was true, and we've touched on it before. Like, there's all kinds of everybody can. The beautiful thing about open source and about tech is that everybody can get angry and ticked off and have their own personal political viewpoints and that kind of thing. But if you can agree on a standard, on a spec, it eliminates all that stuff. None of that other stuff matters. It all becomes ancillary. All that matters is the goal and the project. And I think that's one thing that's beautiful that I love seeing about the developer meetings. And I mean, you get on those JC calls and nobody even knows what the other person's politics are. It's about the shared vision and the goal. I just think it's beautiful.
There's a parallel here with a difference. What I witnessed in the early days, and I was, in contact with Dave Weiner on a regular basis, much more involved in his orbit, certainly with, even before podcasting with RSS, the whole creation of the, what became, was it 0.9 and then, jumped to, did it jump to 2.0 RSS 2.0? I can't remember.
There was a 1.0 that was like RDF.
Yeah, that was something RDF. Else. And he did 0.9, 0.91, 2, I think. But I just saw there was so much vitriol, and I was on his side. And you know Dave Weiner a bit too. I mean, I felt he could be very vicious. I was like, wow, this is really quite, everyone's kind of out to screw each other and is poking the bear. And I saw them doing scammy comments on each other's message boards under pseudonyms and comments being deleted and watch what he's going to do. And that was I'm not saying that's Dave Weiner today. I think he was still kind of wrapped up in the Silicon Valley game, which maybe many people are. Maybe, I don't know if it's necessarily part of that, But it does come down to money to some degree. And that's what I philosophically, I really like the lightning part of this project, because it it makes everybody equal. You know, there's no other money coming in, really. You know, the money for everybody, there's this pool, and we said that up front, you know, here's what we're trying to do, you know, stabilize this, preserve it, and then here's how we can make money. And somehow that equalizes everything, because no one controls the money, there's no investor. I think it's some kind of, it is an added beauty to the system. I am I crazy thinking this? Am I just...
Well, what, Dave Weiner called me a Republican one time, and I think that's the last time I ever spoke to him.
Yes, how insulting.
Well, I know. Well, yeah. So, but I was thinking, you know, over time, I've come to sympathize, and he kicked me off multiple projects of his. But over time, I think that I've come to understand him a little bit, maybe better. And not that I necessarily agree with some of the things that he did, but I do sort of like a Richard Stallman type deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an easy person to vilify because he does not sugarcoat anything that he says, anything at all. And anytime that you deal with a person like that, it's hard.
It got him kicked out of MIT for just being completely honest.
Yeah. And it does, and like being honest doesn't mean you're right. It just means you're honest and you know what you're going to get. And that's, you're going to have to expect that if you're going to deal with somebody like that, you're going to have extremely thick skin.
But I guess without focusing on those individuals, it felt the same to me everywhere. You know, with whoever was playing in the game. In fact, there were several developers who were creating podcatchers, as we categorize them. And I felt they got a little diminished somewhere along the line because other bigger... It was a weird thing. There was money in it, maybe, but money that was perhaps vast. And this is before I started Podshow. This was all still at the base level. And that was, in those days, it was an interop and these types of cross communications. I mean, they were, what else were they doing? Well, of course, the Atom, the ATOM.
Oh, yeah.
feed, you know, was competition. I think that was mainly funded by Microsoft. And that was competing with RSS. It was just a whole bunch of weird stuff that has an analogy here. But I just feel that the money, the Bitcoin value part makes the difference in this project versus 18 years ago.
I think everybody understands. I think I understand what you're saying now. Everybody understands probably, if not immediately, but quickly thereafter, that if you want to get in that game, you have to cooperate.
Yeah, interop. Exactly.
That's the way you get to the goal of making money or being sustainable with your project is you have to interop.
And that sticks so in my mind. I can remember Dave Weiner talking to someone else saying, you know, those guys they said they're going to interop with them. And I didn't even know if that was a good or bad thing, the way it was said, but it was a big, big, big deal. And now it's like that. We know that's the only way to go, interop or die.
Yeah. That's the way that you make yourself successful is through interop. And in the past, when projects were just when they're just based on idealism, like, that's what makes something different than that old comic that's like, okay, well, you have 11 standards and now you propose a new standard. Now you got 12 standards.
Yeah.
Like that. That's the difference between this and that, is that by interoping with Bitcoin, with Lightning, that's how you define success, because that's how you make your project make money and be sustainable. Whereas otherwise, if it's just pure idealism, well, then your ideal is on its merit may not be any better than anybody else's ideal. And you're just arguing about, you know, you're just arguing about your vision. At the end of the day, your vision doesn't matter. If it doesn't work with the system, then you're not going to make any money. And the person who's going to make money, their vision's going to win because they're going to be successful. I think you're right. I think the financial interop really does drive the whole system.
Financial interop. I love that. That's the good guys version of DeFi. FinOp. We're calling it FinOps. FinOps.
FinOps. Oh.
FinOps. Yes, nice. FinOps. And it's I like that. And my recommendation is anyone, and literally everyone, can get on the wheel of Satoshis. Because when you have a wallet and you just see one Satoshi a minute coming through, sometimes three, oh, boost, there's a couple hundred. And that's for everybody. I mean, everybody competes on service and quality and experience, and the money flows. And whether you're an app developer, a hosting company, a podcaster, a podcast guest, musician, you can get on the spinning wheel of Satoshis, and it's spinning already. The only thing I believe physics will show is that it's going to spin faster and there will be more on it. I mean, yeah. As we grow, I mean, we should do the numbers of our, how many podcasts are now value enabled to 60?
Oh, it's a lot. Yeah. It's way over 200. Yeah. It's a lot. And we're getting,
next time you come to the board, I expect you to have your charts in order, Mr. Jones.
No, I'll print out my TPS report. Does it need a cover sheet?
I bet you if I ask Eric, he knows the number.
Probably. Eric, how many value-enabled podcasts are there?
I think it was 273.
Oh, okay. Oh,
nice. Something like that.
It was pretty high.
So
you're getting some big podcasts too. Getting some larger audience podcasts like the Survival Podcast. I've been listening to that show forever.
No, I've never heard this.
Oh yeah, it's this guy Jack Spirko started. Man, this podcast has been going. Oh, it's got to be over 10 years minimum. He started by just recording himself on the way to work and his day job every single day for years until he built up enough audience to, you know, to do something more professional. But
sorry, what's it called again?
The Survival Podcast. But he signed up a couple of days ago and I was like, bingo, perfect.
How did you find it initially?
I don't remember. I don't remember. It was he started it right around the time of the 2008 financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be what, 13 years.
So this is during his commute.
Yeah, and he was living in Texas, and I think he eventually moved to Arkansas. But he was like some kind of SEO web marketing guy, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So he has an hour and 20 minute commute.
I think it was. Pretty long. I don't know if his how long his episodes were back then.
Mom, I'm just going to boost him right now. Just we talked about him. Yeah. Boom. Done.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
good
default job. 1,000 sats. Wow, man. Got lucky. Got lucky.
Send him a tip. A tip jar.
Oh, shoot. I should have said, let me do the tip jar.
And doing it live. We're doing it live.
Of course we're doing it live. And I'm going to send it to the podcaster. And I'm going to say, from the PC 2.0 gang. Hey now. All right. Send. Oh, cool. Nice. It gives me like gray confetti sprays when you do. Excellent.
All right. We got anything else?
I don't know. I think we're good. Eric?
Not yet.
Quite sure what that means. I guess what I was saying is, do you have anything else before we go?
No, I got nothing.
Dave?
I'm going round two on the dried green beans. Give those a shot. Since I paid so much for them, I'm going to get my money's worth.
Excellent callback. You are such a radio guy. Can I ask, what is this? I haven't opened it. Z of my favorite podtalkers.png? What is that?
I want you to open that and look at it.
Okay. Hold on a second. I got to zoom in. Okay. This is a picture of the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. That's my hate listen.
Yeah.
And this is from Mark Spencer. Heart in throat. Two of my favorite pod talkers, Kara Swisher and Prof Galloway, answered a question I'd sent to Pivot. Okay.
Thought you might like this. Got all your favorite people in it.
Oh, my goodness. Is that the I couldn't give an F about podcasting 2.0?
No. This could be.
He's got the same look.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. I will not. I'm not going to put that in the show notes.
No. That was just for you.
That's no good. All right, guys. Well, holy crap. Have a great weekend. It's been this very even long today. I can't believe it. Martin's going to be up until 3 a.m. listening to us. All right. Take care, guys.
All right, man.
All right. We'll be back next Friday with another edition of Podcasting 2.0. The board meeting, open source, and good to go. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Boost.